You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 477 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Roland. It is Wednesday evening into Thanksgiving morning, so if you are in the United States, happy Thanksgiving to you all. I know I have some people that are not American that listen to the podcast, so happy Thursday to everybody else that's not in America celebrating Thanksgiving after this interesting basketball game on Wednesday night. But the Hawks fell by the final score of 124-108 at the hands of the Toronto Raptors. And as usual on this podcast, we'll break it all down from the angles during the game as well as individual stuff and takeaways moving on to the future. But, of course, the headliner by the end of this game was Vince Carter getting his 25,000th point at the end of the contest. I will say, coming into the game, I would have guessed that he didn't get there because, as you probably know by now, Carter needed 13 points to get 25,000 at the end of this game. And, you know, coming in a reserve role with John Collins back and Dwayne Debman available, you know, Carter was projected to play some real minutes in this game, considering the fact that Alex Len and Amari Spellman and even Alex Poitras were on the shelf. But Carter getting to 13 was not a given by any means. And honestly, the Hawks were kind of designing stuff for him to try to score late in this contest. It was a little bit of a not normal situation where he took 15 shots in 21 minutes. Actually led the team in shots attempted, which is pretty crazy to see, but actually worked out pretty well, honestly, for the Hawks, and that they were going to lose this game anyway. It was pretty much academic by the time that they were trying to design stuff for Carter to score late in the game. He actually missed a couple of threes down the stretch, but in the end, sort of fittingly, it worked out really well in that he dunked with about a half a second to go to get the 25,000 points. And a lot of the post-game stuff was kind of interesting because of the fact that the Hawks lost this game. But, you know, Carter, you know, rightfully celebrated. There was a lot of people pouring out celebration stuff and congratulations for him after this game, from Adam Silver to a bunch of, you know, former players. And the team put together a nice tribute video, all that fun stuff. If you missed any of that, I'm sure you can find it on the internet, and we won't spend too much more time on it. But congrats to Vince Carter. And that was, of course, the headline event, even at least from a Hawks perspective in this game, even despite the 16-point loss at the hands of the Raptors. But, you know, as we always do here, aside from that, we'll come back and sort of talk about the entire game as it unfolded. I was not in the building, as you can probably tell. There was no background noise here. I was having some family stuff on Wednesday, so this is the rare time when I'm in town and not down at State Farm Arena. So please forgive me. Had I known Vince Carter was going to do that, I might have popped down there for the end of this game. But alas, here we are. Sometimes that stuff happens, and I was able to watch the game. Actually, caught up by the third quarter. I was actually caught up and watching live from there, and then did my quick rewatch after the game and did my sort of normal process. But here we are. Some stuff to hit on before this game actually started was that John Collins had a 25-minute minutes restriction. He actually told reporters before the game that he was going to be playing about 4-minute segments. He went a little bit past that, got to about 27 minutes, but no big surprise that he was a little bit limited, although he did start alongside Dwayne Debman for the first time this season. I speculated, I think by myself and alongside Jeff Siegel this week, that I thought Pierce might pull the trigger on both spots when Collins came back. That was actually announced that they were going to go with that lineup at shoot-around on Wednesday morning, and then later in the day, Alex Len went from probable with a back injury to out with a back injury. So that made it a little bit easier, but even before the news broke that Len was not going to play in this game, they were going to go with Collins and Debman, and that is by far the best pairing of a 4 and 5 on this roster. You know, Collins is by far, you know, far and away the best 4 on this roster, and Debman's just better than Alex Len, so that made some sense. It didn't really work that well in this game. You know, we'll talk about that later as far as the individual stuff, but that was the right move, and that's something that we'll probably see moving forward, I would imagine. Also, Amari Spellman and Alex Poitras did not play in this game. Neither one of those was a surprise. They were both listed as doubtful, but Spellman left that game on Monday with a hip contusion. Poitras is still out after suffering the ankle injury at the end of last week. So we'll see if either one of those guys plays on Friday. But for now, the Hawks are a little bit shorthanded in the front court. We saw Miles Plumlee play in this game. And actually, you know, Tyler Dorsey got in late, but before that, the Hawks were running an 11-man rotation, even without a couple of guys who've been playing for them this year. So just something to follow away there, that the Hawks were still going pretty deep. And it's very, very clear Lloyd Pierce is still trying to figure out rotations at this point in the season, which isn't a surprise given all the stuff that the Hawks have been through injury-wise with Collins out and all that stuff. But yeah, just something to keep in mind there is the rotation is very, very fluid at this moment. Coming out of the gate here, it was Kyle Lowry being guarded by Kent Bazemore, whereas they actually had Trae Young guarding Fred VanVleet. There was no Kawhi Leonard in this game for the Raptors, which actually, you know, obviously benefits the Hawks quite a bit coming into the game, but also makes them a lot smaller, which allows allows Young to guard Van Vliet. You know, Van Vliet's a very good player, but isn't quite the force offensively that Kyle Lowry is, so kind of gave Young somewhere to hide for the most part coming out of the gate here. It was a pretty ugly start on both sides of the game, both sides of the floor early on. Everyone was missing open looks. There were even layups missing in the opening minutes, and actually Lowry finally scored after about 3.5 minutes of scoreless basketball to open this game. The Hawks didn't score for about 4.5 minutes, missed their first 8 shots, and the Raptors actually kind of opened up a nice little lead early on here that they basically never relinquished. They were up 7-0 to start this game. They were up 19-6 after that. The Hawks trailed by as many as 15 points in the first quarter. They did have a nice little run at the end of the first quarter. It was actually probably their best stretch of the entire game. A 10-0 run, actually, that was facilitated by the bench. There was a dunk by Justin Anderson on the run out, and also 4 points from Jeremy Lin, who was fantastic in this game. Lin had 9 points in his first 9 minutes of play. There was a couple of nice highlights outside of that in the first half. When there was a Trae Young to Kent Bazemore alley-oop dunk in transition, actually got the Hawks back within two. That was as close as they got, honestly, the entire game. Was after that play. It was a nice strip as well by Anderson on Lowry that led to a Jeremy Lin layup in transition late in the second quarter. Torian Prince, I thought, was pretty anonymous, which was part of my notes in the first half, was that he just didn't do really anything. Not terribly negative either, just kind of was invisible, sort of in a bad way out there in the first half. But the Hawks, you know, did manage to only commit 4 turnovers before halftime, which is a very, very nice thing in this game. They only committed 9 turnovers, so that's definitely, I think, the best of the season so far, and a pretty good sign moving forward. With that said, they just couldn't make shots really the entire game, but especially in the first half. They were 1 of 14 from 3. And defensively, they had a lot of trouble keeping the Raptors off the glass and out of the paint as well. It was a lot of stuff that was easy for Toronto, which makes complete sense when you see that they actually posted a 123 offensive rating in this game. A lot of that was just getting where they wanted to go offensively, and the Hawks provided a little resistance, especially in that first half. After the halftime break, it was an 8-2 run from the Raptors that prompted Lloyd Pierce to take out his entire starting five only about 2 minutes into the third quarter, coming out of the halftime break. And no surprise there, honestly, considering the way the starters had gotten blitzed in the first half. They got blitzed again in the second half, and Pierce had just kind of seen enough of those guys. From there, Young did come back in, actually made a pretty bad turnover late in the first quarter, but it was all Jeremy Lin that was trying to keep the Hawks engaged. Lin was fantastic. We'll talk about him again later when we get to the individual stuff, but he was the only reason really in this game the Hawks didn't lose by probably 30, just was Lin's ability to score efficiently, and he was the only guy really on the entire roster. You look up and down the roster, he was the only player that was able to score efficiently in this game. Maybe Kevin Huerter would be a small exception, but aside from that, there just wasn't really much going on offensively in this game outside of Jeremy Lin. The Hawks never got back within single digits after the halftime break. You know, they went into the half down only 11, and from there never really got any closer, I should say. They actually got down by 22 points in the fourth quarter. There were some nice stretches after that from the Hawks, but they actually had back-to-back threes. They at least pushed the Raptors to go back to Kyle Lowry. It was clear they were trying to take him out of the game for the duration with about 6 minutes to go. They made Lowry come back in, but that was kind of the only positive thing there. The Hawks did score well in the second half, which is something at least to be semi-positive about. They scored 64 points after halftime, but defensively just wasn't really there, and they were playing a little bit faster, which is probably helpful, but on the whole, wasn't too much going on there, aside from the obvious celebration stuff at the end of this game. You know, we will come back here to talk about the individual stuff here momentarily. I do want to take a moment to tell you guys to subscribe to the podcast. I really appreciate everybody that's already done that, and honestly, on this day of thanks, I definitely thank everyone who's already subscribed and listened and told your friends about the podcast. It's been huge. We've had a very nice year so far on the pod, so I really appreciate everyone that's come on board. Please continue to listen to the podcast, as well as the entire Locked On Podcast Network. I really, really appreciate it, and after this short break, we'll come back, talk about the individual stuff from this game. And we're back here to talk about the individual stuff in this game. We'll start with the bench first. You know, we'll start with by far the most positive thing, and that's Jeremy Lin's performance. 26 points in 26 minutes for Jeremy Lin, 11 of 13 from the floor, 4 of 5 from 3, 2 assists, a rebound, and a steal for Lin. Only 1 turnover as well. He was really fantastic. You know, 4 fouls, a couple of which were actually some pretty questionable calls in the second half. But Lin was the centerpiece of the offense when he was in the game. He was very efficient. He was excellent. This is sort of the masterpiece from Lin so far this season. Obviously, he's been very, very good recently after a bad start. But now that he looks like himself again, it's just good to be reminded that Jeremy Lin is good at basketball. And it's something we've talked about a lot on this podcast, including over the weekend with Jeff, just talking about how we kind of understand that Lin is good. It's not a situation where, you know, in the future, he probably isn't going to be part of the franchise. But at the same time, Lynn was brought in to be that stabilizing force. He's obviously a good mentor off the court as well, but Lynn is just also good at basketball. He's a top 30, 35 point guard in the league, and that's someone who's very useful. And I don't think you can really count on him scoring 26 points in 26 minutes all that often, but Lynn will have it going this kind of stuff pretty frequently. He's not quite to this level, but Lynn is someone who is a good offensive player, and we saw that in this game. And as I mentioned before, earlier on in the podcast, he's really the only reason why the Hawks didn't lose this game by probably 25 or 30. So, shout out to Jeremy Lin. He played very, very well here, and he was the one clear bright spot for Atlanta. Second, Vince Carter, before the hysterics late in the game, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 5 of 15 from the floor. It was pretty clear late again that the Hawks were just trying to let him score, which is kind of something that I appreciated, because this story is not going to be out of the way. It was always going to happen at some point this year that he would get to 25,000 points, and that's a pretty incredible accomplishment. It's kind of weird to cover just because of the fact that he was not in Atlanta before this, so I'm actually interested to see how the fan base reacts. Obviously, it's a pretty big landmark, so for Carter, is a very, very famous player. Sort of the face of Canadian basketball there for a while when he was in Toronto, and one of the most exciting players in NBA history. So I get all of that. At the same time, I can't imagine there's too much of a connection between Hawks fans and Vince Carter, because he just got here. So sort of an interesting topic, big picture, and one that's probably worth litigating later on. But Carter, great story, fantastic career, no question about that. I'll be interested to see how the Hawks treat him moving forward now that this is out of the way and that they have the entire roster back. For instance, Justin Anderson played pretty well in this game, and then you're going to have DeMar Spellman back pretty soon too. So we'll see how much Carter plays moving forward. But this was a nice showcase for him, and shouts to Vince Carter for a fantastic career, including this evening. DeAndre Bembry, 7 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal for the third-year wing. He was just okay here. Didn't play all that much. It was interesting. He's another guy that I talked about being potentially in the rotational squeeze a little bit here with everyone back, including Anderson. I think Bembry being a young player probably helps him in that regard, but didn't play a ton. Was in the court at times here, but among the guys who you would think would be regular rotation players, he played less than Carter. He played less than Herder, for instance. That's just something to monitor moving forward. I thought he was okay when he played, though. Miles Plumlee, 7 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal in 14 minutes for Miles. 3-5 from the floor. I didn't think he played particularly well. There was a stretch, obviously, a couple of weeks ago now where he played a lot and actually played pretty decently. This game, he was out there because of the fact that they didn't have a backup center. No Alex Len, no Spellman, no Poitras. He was the only guy that was available other than John Collins that could play behind Deadman. And Plumlee did an admirable job, didn't play particularly well, but he was just sort of out there. And coming into the game, it was very clear the Hawks had to play him, and they went ahead and did that here. Tyler Dorsey got in late, had a nice drive and finish, but missed the free throw. That was basically all that he did. Only played 2 minutes, so not too much to talk about with him. Kevin Herter, 10 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block shot. Had a really ugly finish on a fast break at one point, which is probably the low point of the night for Kevin, but it did have a couple of nice moments as well. Hit 2 threes. He was a little bit more assertive with the ball in his hands. Actually, had the nice pass late to Vince, and I thought Herter played pretty decently, aside from that one sort of glaring mishap on the fast break. He doesn't always play with force. That's something he's going to have to learn to do. Herter is someone who's not particularly strong right now. We mentioned that in his preseason evaluation and the post-draft evaluation of his game. It's just the fact that he's just not quite physically ready yet. Does have a very nice skill set to work from, but there are times when you can just see that he's not quite there physically, and that was one of those times. And last but not least, off the bench, Justin Anderson, 14 minutes, 6 points, 2 steals, and a block shot for Anderson in his 14 minutes. He was plus 5. Definitely a step forward from him after he didn't play much in the opener of his return back from injury. I think Anderson's someone who I've always liked, didn't make either of his threes in this game, but did give good energy, especially defensively. He's someone who I think can give them two-way play. I guess even before the game at shoot around, Pierce talked about the fact that Anderson could see some backup 4 minutes in this game. That really didn't happen much. It was mostly Vince Carter in that role, but I think Anderson's someone who can play the three, can play the four in small ball looks, and we'll see how the Hawks use him. But he's someone who I think, ability wise, is someone who probably should be in the rotation right now full time, and we'll see how he progresses moving forward. To the starters. A bit of a weird night for Kent Bazemore, which I really didn't fully grasp until after the game ended, but 14 minutes from Kent Bazemore. It's pretty interesting to see that kind of thing from someone who is, I think, been the best player for the Hawks for, a year and a half, 2 years. Just so to not see him play a whole lot in this game is definitely noteworthy in a lot of ways. Part of that was just they were trying to get Vince stuff. part of that they were trying to see Justin Anderson, Kevin Huerter. Part of that was probably the score. In fact, they were down big late, so that, you know, maybe Bayes would have come back in. But just kind of an anonymous game from him. Minus 22. You know, the numbers are what they are. I don't think he was terrible by any means. He had a nice chase down block and was pretty efficient offensively, but just didn't play much, which is weird, I will say. So we'll see how that looks on Friday. But, you know, to basically not play, if not your best player, one of your best two or three players, to be sure, not much in this game is interesting to file away for the future. Dwayne Dedmon was bad in this game. That's something I have to say. I like Dwayne Dedmon a lot. I've been really positive about him at times this season. I think he's by far the best center on the roster. If you're not calling John Collins a center, he's definitely better than Lynn, better than Spellman, better than Plumlee, all that fun stuff. But he was bad in this game. 1-8 from the floor, 0-4 from three. Did have 7 rebounds, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. So he was at least active. But for the most part, he was ineffective offensively. The Raptors kind of didn't treat him very well in terms of respecting his offensive ability. And he was bowled over a lot by Valanciunas, who had 24 points and 13 rebounds for the Raptors. Also, Serge Ibaka had a good game as well. So a lot of that front court stuff happened at the behest of Dedmon. I didn't think Dedmon played well at all in this game. So, you know, it's one game, it's a blip on the radar, but not the greatest experience for Dwayne Dedmon in this spot. Torian Prince, I mentioned before, the first half is pretty anonymous. Did a couple of nice plays in the second half, but still a pretty ugly line overall. 12 points, 3 assists. Did not have a single rebound, which is damning, I would say, of someone his size and his stature. 3 of 11 from the floor, 2 of 8 from 3. Got to the line 5 times, which is encouraging, but, you know, Prince just didn't do much and didn't play very well. And defensively, he continues to be sort of rough on a nightly basis. John Collins, 6 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He played better late. I thought he struggled in the first half. Want to see him more at center, especially in this game when they didn't have the backup center, but I do understand why they didn't do that considering his minutes restriction and all that fun stuff. But I think Collins, continue to say, I think he was better at center in this game. Even in this game, in the second half is when he was playing center, I think sort of things unlocked a little bit for the offense. Part of the trouble right now is that if you're playing Collins at the four, there isn't a ton of space on the floor unless you're playing a couple of shooters. Like if you have Young and Huerter and another shooter out on the court together, maybe Prince, then the spacing is okay. But if you start playing Bembry, if you start playing, Bazemore's an okay shooter, but it's not someone who's going to be treated as a knockdown guy. If you start playing some guys who can't really shoot it as well, it's tough to play two traditional bigs. You know, Collins isn't a traditional big in the fact that he is very athletic, but, you know, the fact that he's not really that much of a perimeter player, he does have some skills out there, but not a knockdown shooter. He missed all 3 of his threes in this game. And I think the spacing was pretty clearly limited until he was playing center. And they were going a little bit smaller late in the game. So that's just something to keep, something to monitor, I will say, just because of the fact that we all kind of know that Collins is the best four on the roster. But he also might be the best five on the roster if you break everything down. Maybe Dedmon's a little bit better at the five full-time. But, you know, something to just follow away is that they're going to need some spacing on the floor at times, and that could lead to Collins playing some more center, especially if they don't love what Lynn's given them or if somebody's injured, because this is probably the spot to do it without Lynn, without Spellman, and they didn't do it a ton, but when they did, it actually looked better than when he was playing power forward earlier in the game. And last but not least, Trae Young, 22 minutes, 6 points, 5 assists, a steal, and a rebound. Was pretty anonymous also in this game. I thought Young was bad defensively, as he often is, but, you know, a bad matchup for him in a lot of ways, you know, trying to deal with Kyle Lowry a little bit. Didn't have to play him a ton in this game, as they put Bazemore on him, they put Bembry on him, they put other guys on him. But there were times when he had to play him. It didn't go well. Same with Van Vliet, who can kind of get it wherever you wanted to go against Young. And offensively, it wasn't like Young was terrible. But he only 7 shot attempts, which is pretty, I'll say, interesting is the best way I'll say that. Just not terribly aggressive in this game. But that, you know, the 5 assists are noteworthy, and it's something that's he's very, very good at passing. But a pretty quiet game. I was actually surprised that he came back in for the last three and a half minutes or so. I thought there for a minute that they were going to keep running with Lynn. I think if it had been closer, they probably would have, considering how well Lynn was playing. But, you know, at the end of the day, 22 minutes for Young, and he just didn't have a good game here. It wasn't like he was terrible, but defensively, he kind of is what he is, and offensively, he has not been contributing all that much. You know, he was good the other night on Monday, aside from a little bit of some inaccurate shooting, but the passing was, you know, when he kind of has that impact offensively like he did on Monday, it's easier to see past the defense when he's more cautious and more sort of anonymous or invisible like he was on Wednesday. It's tougher to see past the defense and the inefficiency. So not a good game for Trae, and obviously it was the Jeremy Lin show, as it should have been, because Jeremy Lin was awesome in this game, but that kind of stands to reason as to why that the imbalance kind of happened there. But Lin was just good and Young wasn't, and that's going to happen every once in a while really the entire starting lineup got waxed in this game. If you look at the, you know, plus minus is always a flawed stat, but if you look at it here, the plus minuses for the Hawks starters were as follows: Collins minus 10, Prince minus 19, Devin minus 17, Young minus 16, Bazemore minus 22. And the Raptors starting five was Siakam plus 19, Valanciunas plus 21, Lowry plus 28, Van Vliet plus 15, Green plus 15. That's basically the entirety of what happened in this game. It's not always that linear, but it really was here. You know, the bench for Toronto and the bench for Atlanta played pretty evenly. You know, aside from Lynn being fantastic, there wasn't too much going on there. You know, Ibaka was pretty good for the Raptors as well. But, you know, it was basically a game that was dominated by the first stretch of the first quarter, the first stretch of the third quarter, and everything else was pretty even. And that kind of goes to a theme throughout the season. That's just the Hawks have been really bad at the starts of these games with their starting fives. Obviously, it was a different lineup in this game with Collins back and Devin in there. But, you know, that trio of Young, Bazemore, and Prince, which was sort of the foundational trio that coming into the year in addition to Collins, those four guys, you know, Collins hasn't played much, but the other three guys have been playing together. The results have been bad all season long, and that continued in this game. So, you know, with that said, you know, the Hawks have the day off on Thursday, along with the entire NBA. Nobody plays on Thursday, so we'll see how they respond here. This is their ninth straight loss. The Hawks are now 3-15 on the season, and you know, Friday's game against Boston is kind of interesting. And the Celtics, I want to say that doesn't get easier, but the Celtics have been pretty bad this season. That's probably the best way to put it. Boston's just been really struggling. They lost at home tonight to the New York Knicks, which is jarring, to say the least. So that goes from a game that looked like it was going to be pretty impossible for the Hawks to win to a game that they actually could be competitive in. You know, Boston's 9-9 and, you know, planning to play away from home. Granted, there's no back-to-back set for Boston like there was for both, you know, for the Raptors in this game. The Raptors played a road back-to-back here, which sort of level the playing field a little bit, but, you know, Boston's a team that feels beatable. If actually, you know, of all the teams they put on the last road trip in this homestand, that's the team that's probably playing the worst basketball right now. So if you're looking for a spot for a win, that might be it. The Hawks are, you know, still 3-15, though. They're not the worst team in the league by net rating or by standings, but they're down there in the dumps. Let's just say that. So we'll see how the Hawks respond. Losing nine in a row is nothing fun. It's by far the longest streak in the league right now of losses. So, you know, Friday's a new day. The Vince stuff will be out. The Vince stuff will be in the rear mirror at that point in time, and it just comes back down to a basketball game against Boston, who has a lot more talent than the Hawks do. But we'll see if the Hawks can rise up and get one of these wins on either Friday or Sunday against the Celtics and the Hornets. So I hope everyone enjoys their Thanksgiving break. I will not have a new show that I'll record on Thursday, so the next podcast will be live from the arena on Friday night into Saturday morning, so please stay tuned for that. Please subscribe to the podcast. Please tell your friends. Enjoy your holiday, and we'll see you guys on Saturday morning.